Nuketown Radioactive number 30 for Monday, May 8th, 2006. Just one word of caution. The opening song isn't exactly kid-friendly, featuring zombies doing what zombies do, but in a way that's sure to amuse the notes. So if you've got kids listening right now, I would recommend either waiting to listen later, or just fast-forwarding through the next couple minutes worth of podcast.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. Good to see you, buddy. How've you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. Here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable, I mean no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here, maybe we should compromise. Open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brain. I don't want to nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out of food and guns. And you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable, I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here, maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. Well, technically I am. I guess I doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open.
Oh,
I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here, maybe we should compromise. Open up the doors, we'll all come inside and eat your brains.
Alright folks, welcome to Radioactive number 30. This is Ken Newquist, your host, and that was R.E. Your Brains by Jonathan Colton. And if I sound like I'm in a good mood, well, I guess I am. It's been a very busy week. It's been a very busy 2 weeks, I should say. And the mad dash towards whose due date is continuing. And I gotta say that it kind of hit me with a ton of bricks the last, I guess it was probably on Saturday when I was sitting down. Just Saturday morning, hanging out. Just, I had some time by myself. I had a review that was due for Knights of the Dinner Table, so I went down to the coffee shop and I was finishing up that review. And once I was done, I was looking at my calendar and trying to figure out when we were going to be gaming. And it occurred to me, in a really kind of concrete, real, wow, you know, the time is almost upon us kind of way, that the baby's almost here. And, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, you do the math, you know when the dates are, specifically May 19th. The due date's actually June 10th, but May 19th is kind of the go-no-go date. That's when the baby could actually come, and they won't stop it. So if Sue were to go into labor, they would just let her go into labor. So, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at my calendar, and I'm looking at, well, May 19th, we're talking about gaming all day on Saturday. Sue could go into labor then. And I'm looking at the calendar, looking at June, and we're looking at, like, I think, like, June 20th or something like that for Saturday gaming. Like, I'll be a dad again by then. You know, that's just, wow. It's not as though, like I say, it's not as though I didn't know this was coming. But it's one thing to have it kind of in your head and to know that, yeah, it's out there. And it's another to kind of hit that date where you go, huh. Yeah, wow. It's really happening. So we're trying to get a lot of stuff done. I'm trying to get some freelance stuff finished. We're trying to, you know, buy the few remaining furniture pieces that we need. Just not so much for the baby, but just stuff for that we need to get done around the house. You know, the things that you know that you'd like to get done, the projects that have just been kind of lingering forever. And I'm not even talking about the baby's room. I'm just talking about, like, hanging pictures up in the bathroom. You know, we've only been talking about doing that for 3 months. So tonight we actually did it. So it's just, I don't know, I guess this is officially the nesting phase. Talking about other things that are official, I didn't realize it, but March represented Radioactive's 1 year anniversary. It's pretty amazing, actually. I'm astounded that it's been going on for this long and that it just kind of, I just kind of ignored the whole anniversary thing as it went flying right by. To be honest, I hoped to be a few more shows further along by 1 year. It would have been nice to hit 30 back in March, but, you know, I still think we did pretty well, and I can't say that Radioactive has a huge audience, but it does have a not insignificant one, and it's great to know that all you folks are out there, and I've been having a heck of a lot of fun recording them. And to be honest, this is probably the easiest way for me to update Nuketown right now, and it's probably going to be the easiest way for me to update Nuketown for the coming months, what with the baby coming and all. So it's a really good outlet for my creative, geeky side. Tying into the whole, the baby's coming and we need to get ready, and oh, yeah, my geeky side. I've got a new cell phone. I hated my old cell phone, and thus I never used it, which in turn earned me the wrath of my wife, who wanted me to remember to have it with me, and because I really didn't like the phone, I would just never really bring it with me. And, you know, it wasn't, the problem with it was really ultimately the interface. It was an older phone, and it was just clunky. It was really hard to maneuver the menus. I would always end up getting lost every time I tried to open up the phone book. So I just hated to use the damn thing. So we kind of came to this agreement that I would look for a new phone, a phone that might actually be useful. Because my theory was, well, if it actually has the stuff on it that I need, then I would use it more, right? I would remember to bring it with me because it's something that's actually useful for me. I never forget to bring my iPod, or I rarely forget to bring my iPod. And when I had one, I never forgot to bring my PDA. So what really needs to happen is that the phone needs to be elevated to that level. And, you know, I mean, for Sue, I can understand. It's pretty damn important to have the cell phone with me, right? Especially right now. But, you know, it's one of those things that I don't use it every day. Nobody ever calls me. I'm like freaking 8 blocks from my house. You know, it just makes it harder for me to remember. So anyway, I found this new phone. It's a Motorola V360, which is Bluetooth enabled, and this was ultimately what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for the Bluetooth to be able to do the wireless headset thing, because honestly, I really don't care. What I wanted was it to sync with my Mac via Bluetooth. Now, and specifically what I was looking to do was sync my address book and my calendar to the phone. And this phone does it all perfectly. It works wonderfully through Apple's iSync, and it moved all of my events, calendar items, whatever, from iCal onto my phone. It moved my entire address book from my Mac to the phone. And now I've got, you know, where I would have had to have spent, I don't know, what, an hour, 2 hours getting all my contacts listed onto my phone, not to mention the redundant, just busy work of having to try and recreate calendar stuff on my phone. Now it's just all happening automatically. So, wow, awesome. I'm really excited, and I will say, part of this is because I need to justify having the phone, but I haven't forgotten it once since I got the new phone. So, that's pretty cool. Also, it has a camera. Not a great camera, but it does have a camera, and it can record video, which is also kind of nifty. So, you know, I've been playing around with that. It doesn't take great pictures, but it's just one more thing that makes the phone a heck of a lot more useful. Say, I don't know, 1,000 times more useful than my old phone. I've got one more bit of show news, and it's not so much show news as it is personal gaming news. My gaming group's been around for 10 years. Not 10 years on and off, but 10 years of once-a-week gaming, which is really, really cool and I think kind of remarkable. As occasionally happens, though, real life interferes with gaming, and because of this, a few players can't play as often as they'd like, and, well, we're looking for a new player. So, if you're into D20 Dungeons & Dragons, like Greyhawk, or are willing to learn, live in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, and think you'd fit in with a bunch of late 20-something to mid-30-something geeks, and want to join us, drop me a line at nuketown@gmail.com.
Warning, the following information is classified top secret. Well, okay, that's not true, but we think it's cool just to tell you that. The subject of this dossier is Random Signal, a podcast produced from an underground Super Ultra Mondo secret facility located somewhere in the Durham, North Carolina area of the Mid-Atlantic United States. Its host is Jason Adams, codenamed Kryptonaut, called by some as a rebel, a geek, and a spitting image of Jane from Joss Whedon's Firefly. Random Signal is a podcast for the independent musician, offering a platform for music too good for the mainstream music industry. More data can be obtained on the Random Signal at randomsignal.com. It is your mission to fill your podcatching client with many episodes of Random Signal, a podcast that is so totally Airwolf that Ernest Borgnine is starting up a Backstreet Boys tribute band just so he can get an interview on it. Subscribing to Random Signal is your first priority. End of file.
So first up on Sites of Note this week, we've got Serenity Lego. This is, even for non-Lego geeks, this is pretty cool. It's the ship Serenity from Joss Whedon's Firefly, complete with interior lighting and show-themed minifigs. Now, this thing actually looks just like Serenity, and the tail end, it'll either light up with a constant light or it'll flicker. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the plans for it, so you can't go and build your own version, but it's still pretty cool. It's just astounding to see that he was able to do this. Now, originally, the creator of this Lego Serenity wanted to be able to make it to the same scale as minifigs, so they could actually sit in there and gather around the table and stuff. But unfortunately, it just wasn't going to work. The ship was going to be too big. You didn't have enough of the pieces, whatever. So I think it ends up being somewhere between half scale and three quarter scale, but still pretty awesome. And the minifigs, he still went and did the minifigs. So you've got your little mini Mal and your little mini Jane, and that's just cool. I mean, it's very, very geeky, and it's really fun, so I definitely recommend checking it out. And you can find it at www.reasonablyclever.com/Lego/Firefly. And, of course, the link will be in the show notes. Now, next up, I want to talk about a podcast that I've actually mentioned before. I've actually mentioned them a couple times before, but, you know, it's worth reiterating because they're celebrating their one-year anniversary this month. It is All Games Considered, which you can find at allgamesconsidered.blogspot.com. And as the name might imply, they're all about all kinds of different games, role-playing games, board games, just about anything you can play, these guys will cover it. And, well, I should take back that for a moment. It's not all games, it's basically pulp games, pen and paper games. Stuff that you kind of have to actually get out of the box and assemble. We're not talking about video games and that sort of thing. So they have been a staple of my podcasting, my pod squad, for the last year or so. Pretty much ever since they went live, I've been listening to them. They've had their ups and downs, but I think it's a pretty solid show. I definitely enjoy listening to them while I'm doing home improvement, and I think that you will too. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about was, or the last site I wanted to mention, was Geek Culture, a Bibliography. It's a bit dated, but it's a still useful look at geek culture through the eyes of sociologists and other researchers. It's particularly useful for gamers who are trying to prove to concerned friends and family that they aren't crazy. You tell somebody that you're playing D&D, and then they kind of look at you like, Are you crazy? Are you going to cast a spell on me? Are you a Satanist? Are you evil? Are you going to flip out? And the answer to all of those questions has been determined time and time again in studies that are quoted in this bibliography as no. Gamers aren't going to do this, and based on these studies, well, they're actually slightly less likely than regular folks to do any of those things. So it delves into other things as well. It talks about gaming, electronic gaming culture, just some of the other subcultures that exist within geekdom. And while it hasn't been updated since something like 2000, 2001, I think it's still a cool thing to be able to reference. So you can check that out at, I screwed up the link. It's not in my show notes, but it will be by the time this goes live.
This show is part of the Out of This World Entertainment on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, tsfpn.com.
In his long, long, long horror writing career, Stephen King has never written a zombie novel. Vampires, the apocalypse, gunslingers, haunted houses, possessed cars. Yes, he's written about all these things, but never zombies, which, when you think about it, is kind of astounding. However, now there's Cell, in which millions of cell phone using Americans turned into mindless, rampaging horrors that turn on anyone they can lay their claws and teeth on. The survivors, those few who weren't using cell phones when what they call the Pulse destroyed civilization, must deal with these creatures and what they ultimately become. Strictly speaking, the phoners, those who were transformed, aren't undead. They aren't the reanimated corpses of those who have fallen, and their bite does not reinfect or doesn't infect other people with their contagion. So, they're not strictly by the book zombies. However, they follow many of the rules of zombiedom. They're mindless creatures, they have a tendency to swarm, they hunger for the flesh of others, or at least want to rend and murder them. And the opening chapters of Cell are reminiscent of the classic Living Dead trilogy. But King takes things in a direction that most zombie tales don't take. Most zombies are static, unchanging, brain-hunkery monsters. And in many cases, that's what makes them so horrific. I mean, to be honest, the only I've read and I've watched a lot of horror movies, and the only ones that have ever really given me nightmares are those about zombies. And I think it's because, zombies are kind of like a force of entropy. Once they come into being, they just want to destroy everything that there's around them. And there's absolutely no hope in any of these books and any of these movies. And I think that's what really just kind of creeps me out. Now, Stephen King's approach to this makes the book less about entropy and more about evolution. Regular zombies give way to dead worlds where nothing ultimately will survive, and it's all just a pathetic attempt to kind of fight off the inevitable. In King's book, however, we see zombies that form mental collectives that fundamentally alter what it means to be human. So they're not quite zombies, but they're not quite human either. And after the Pulse, while the phoners rampage, they then start to evolve into this something else. And it's, in many ways, just as horrific as your traditional zombies, because it's not human. It's fundamentally different. It's forming basically this, well, I don't want to give away too much of it, but let's just say it's still something enough to give you the creeps, enough to make you want to say, do I really want to use that brand spanking new cell phone I just got? Because what happens if the Pulse comes? And what happens if the phone rings and you pick it up and it's, Well, this pulse that erases your mind and gives rise to something else. I mean, that's creepy, and when a book can give you that kind of pause, well, I think that's a pretty good book. Now, Stephen King's not at his very best here. I mean, the book kind of reads like a fleshed-out thought experiment rather than a true novel, say, like some of his earlier works like The Shining, Stand, or Bag of Bones, but it's still a fast, entertaining read that I think really adds to the zombie mythos. And to be honest, this is one of the King books that, you know, sometimes, like, say, Bag of Bones, I don't really want to see that turned into a movie because it was such a good book, and I don't think they could capture the fundamental horror and even romance of that book. However, Cell, hell, it's ready made to be a movie. And, you know, I did see some comments online that mentioned that this is kind of Stephen King with his hair let down. He told us that he was going to be going into retirement after he finished the Gunslinger books, the Dark Tower books. And I personally never believed that because I think Stephen King's the kind of guy, or rather the kind of writer, who really can't stop writing. He's going to have that itch, and I think every year or so he's going to need to scratch it. And I think that Cell is probably the first big scratch that he had to do since his so-called retirement. So I think, you know, it was a fun book. I definitely recommend it to folks. It's if you like zombies, if you like King, pick it up.
Once upon a time, at a tavern called the House of the Harping Monkey, there were three misfits who liked to sit around a table talking about silly things.
Hi, welcome to the Round Table here at the Harpy Monkey. Welcome to another episode of the Round Table. I'm your moderator, Chuck Hedden.
Hi, I'm Michael Bradley. Nice to meet you.
This is Kenny Montagna. It's also great to meet you all.
And welcome to the Round Table. Hey, let me just tell you about Chuck. This is called the Chuck Hedden Show, not the Round Table Show.
Hello.
Well, like I said, the show is called the Round Table.
Official podcast of the House of the Harpy Monkey.
It's a geek tavern, is what it is. People who love mythology, fantasy, role-playing games. Good books, good movies.
Yeah, each
books.
Week we'll try to talk about a different topic. Or we'll talk about movies, we'll talk about comics, we'll talk about RPGs.
Get into some geek culture, pop culture stuff, some stuff that's mythic, some stuff that's fantasy.
The cool thing about myth is it just has influenced such a large spectrum of ideas. We can talk about things like folklore and mythopia.
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 They always say it wrong. Mythopia.
It's not a venereal disease.
Mythopia.
It's the big highfalutin word. It's so woohoo philosophical.
So after that lecture, thank you, Professor Bradley.
And this is the slogan of the Harping Monk. Myth is truth. Myth is truth.
The truths contained within the stories are as true as anything else. Yeah. Here it comes.
I think that Tolkien would be rolling over in his grave to some of the stuff that was done in the movie. I'm pretty sure that I'm right on this.
Hello.
And what he did with Faramir is horrendous. I'm pretty sure that I'm right on this. I totally agree with everything, but nothing you've said.
And that pretty much sums up our little trio.
This is Chuck.
This is Mick.
This is Kenny.
Become a part of the community.
And tell everyone you know about the Round Table.
For all the best in mythic misfit culture, tune in every week to the Round Table, available from the Science Fiction Podcast Network, iTunes, or theharpingmonkey.com.
I have, on more than one occasion, lamented the lack of really kind of cool, good, fun, entertaining music out there in the real world. I mean, I think my tolerance for broadcast radio right now is about maybe 5 minutes, maybe. I mean, if there's the remote possibility that a good song is on, then I'll listen through it. But most of the time, in the time it takes me to drive to work, which is maybe 3 minutes, I usually flip through 4 radio stations and find absolutely nothing on. And I think my patience for just kind of hanging out and waiting for something is just nil. And part of that is because I keep finding cool stuff on the internet to listen to. And one of those things that I found, or rather one of those people I found, is Jonathan Colton. Now, he's actually gotten a fair amount of play on a bunch of different podcasts, and I've actually been waiting for a good opportunity to talk about him because I didn't want to do it right after somebody else had already played his stuff. But you know what? Eventually you just gotta kind of get out there and do it. Jonathan Colton is a software engineer turned full-time musician who writes and performs eccentric and often downright geeky songs. I first heard about him when Jason over at Random Signal played the very amusing song IKEA, which of course was playing through my head the entire weekend, all of Sunday when I was actually down at IKEA shopping. But I didn't really seriously check out his work until a listener, John Moreau, recommended it. Now, I started listening to his music, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. And then I went out and bought the album, specifically Jonathan Colton, Where Tradition Meets Tomorrow. And then I started listening to some of the free stuff that he had on his site, and man, it's really good stuff. Now, listening through all this stuff, the themes are familiar to anyone who's a geek, and yes, others as well. I think a lot of people could relate to this, particularly maybe, you know, the significant others of geeks. The first would be, I just want to run through some of his songs real quick. We've got The Future Now, in which, I listened to this song, and it just kind of took me immediately back to high school, because it talks about those high school crushes that are never reciprocated, along with, you know, the secret sworn oath that the girl will love you someday on that future date when all your defects have been engineered away, and of course your robotic minions have conquered the earth. I think geeks, most definitely, most of the guys I know, have had at least one of those crushes when they were in high school. Maybe not with robotic minions, but, you know, I think we were all kind of there at one point or another. IKEA, which I mentioned earlier, is a song about where everyone goes for cheap furniture made by my Swedish kinsmen. I Feel Fantastic is a song about better living through chemistry. Mandelbrot Set is a catchy song about the power of mathematical functions. Chiron Beta Prime is a Christmas song unlike any other, and perhaps the absolutely perfect music to light the geek tree by, which it involves a group of people whose robots have rebelled against them and have imprisoned them on an asteroid and are now forcing them to mine. And it's a letter home from the survivors of the rebellion, wishing them a Merry Christmas from their robotic slave labor camp. So anyway, in short, Jonathan knows what it means to be a geek, and to talk about all the longings, dreams, and yes, weird thoughts that we have from time to time. I bought Where Tradition Meets Tomorrow, and it has been on heavy rotation in my work playlist. Well, originally I thought for the last month or so, but God, I think it's probably been 2 months at this point. I've also subscribed to his Thing a Week, which is a podcast that features a new song every week. It's consistently amusing and entertaining, and definitely worth subscribing to. And now I want to play two songs real quick that kind of highlight, I think, where he's coming from. And the first one is Stone Crusher Mountain, which is a tale of love between an evil genius and the woman his minions brought to him to be his lady love. And it includes such great lines as, "I made this half-monkey, half-pony monster to please you," which... I don't know, it just cracks me up every time I hear it.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skull Crusher Mountain. Hope that you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing, but I assure you he's harmless enough. He's a sweetheart, calls me master, and he has a way of finding pretty things and bringing them to me. Find some way to be a little bit less afraid of me. You see, this half pony, half monkey monster to please you. But I get the feeling that you don't like it. What's with all the screaming? You like monkeys, you like ponies. Maybe you don't like monsters so much. Maybe I use too many monkeys. Isn't it enough to know that I ruined a pony? Making a gift for you. Oh, and I'm so into you, but I'm way too smart for you. Even my henchmen think I'm crazy. I'm not surprised that you agree. If you could find some way to be a little bit less afraid of me, you'd see the voices that control me from inside my head. Say I. Picture the two of us alone inside my golden submarine, while up above the waves my doomsday squad ignites the atmosphere. And all the fools who lead their foolish lives may find it quite explosive. Well, it won't mean half as much to me if I don't have you here. It isn't easy living here on Skullcrusher Mountain. So maybe you could cut me just a little slack. Would it kill you to be civil? I've been patient, I've been gracious, and this mountain is covered with wolves. Hear them howling, my hungry children. Maybe you should stay and have another drink and think about me and you.
So that was Skullcrusher Mountain. I hope you liked it. I hope you loved it. I hope you go to Jonathan Colton's website and immediately buy Where Tradition Meets Tomorrow and, you know, start downloading Thing a Week and just giving the guy money because he deserves it. He's got great stuff, and I cannot wait to buy some of his other albums. Now, the next song I want to play is actually from his Thing a Week. It's called When You Go. And it's a very sad song about the end of a relationship, though not necessarily a breakup, as Jonathan said in his notes. It shows you his depth and range as a musician, and demonstrates that, you know, he's not all about geek. But I think that some of the themes that you hear in this song are also reminiscent... reminiscent's not the right word. Some of the themes in this song also appear in his other music, and I think it's that kind of... that longing and that kind of innate geeky romance... that just kind of carries through a lot of his work. Not all of it. I mean, Mandelbrot Set, IKEA, Chiron Beta Prime, obviously. I Feel Fantastic. I mean, a lot of the songs that I've already mentioned, they're a lot more upbeat and, you know, just kind of happy, fun songs. But, you know, he does have this, like, theme of longing that kind of runs through things. So, without further ado, here is When You Go.
Only a moment ago we had nothing but time. Everything lasted forever and you were all mine. Only a dream, I know, thinking myself, just for the time it buys me. Fold my heart up small, or break it into pieces. Find somewhere and keep it there. Take it when you go. There in the frame of your face, in the cast of your eyes, I saw this coming, but still I am caught by surprise. All of this time I knew that I'd be losing you. That doesn't mean that it's okay. That doesn't mean I'm ready. Fold my heart up small, or break it into pieces. Find somewhere and keep it there. Take it when you go. When you go. When you go. Some things you always remember, some things you forget. No way to make it up now, no room for regret. That's no good for anyone, and so I come undone. Now I am less than what I was. Whatever's left is yours now. So fold my heart up small, or break it into pieces. Find somewhere and keep it there. Take it.
So I guess that'll kind of end Radioactive on kind of a mellow note. The like I say, Jonathan Coulton's got some great stuff, awesome music. I've been enjoying listening to his stuff, you know, pretty much religiously for the last couple of months. And really, it's the kind of stuff I listen to when I'm coding, or you know, when I'm putting stuff together for Radioactive or Nuketown, or when I just, you know, kind of need a little stress relief. His music's a great thing to turn to. I mean, he gets the whole geek thing, and it's just really good stuff. So I hope you've hung out all this way through the podcast and stayed around and listened to all of his songs, and that you'll now go over to his website at www.jonathancoulton.com and, you know, check out more of it. Definitely, if nothing else, I gotta wholeheartedly recommend that you subscribe to Thing a Week. It's an RSS feed, kind of like a podcast. You can download each of his songs, and as he releases them each week, and, you know, put a little money in his tip jar, because it is worth it, guys.
You must be listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbn.com. Amazing!
So that'll about do it for Radioactive this week. Whew. Yeah, I'm still coming down off that song, man. It's such a good song. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with me, you got a couple ways of doing it. You can email me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can Skype me. The username's Nuketown. And you can, let's see, instant message me. My username is knuquist@mac.com. That's through AOL Instant Messenger or iChat. And let's see, you can also check out the forums at www.tsfpn.com. So what's up next for Radioactive? Well, I'm not quite sure. I'd like to do a couple of experiments. I'd like to try and get some of the guys from my gaming group in here and see if, you know, we can do something more of a dialogue for a podcast. I'd also like to try and use iChat to record an interview or something like that through GarageBand. I'm kind of gun-shy around GarageBand because I always find it a lot more awkward to use than Audacity, but if it could allow me to do an interview, I think it would be worth it to try again. So, some good stuff coming up, and of course, you know, news about the baby. So, stay tuned to Radioactive, folks, because you just never know what's going to come down the feed next.